From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. And if you are looking for something to do this weekend, well, look no further than maybe your small screen at your house, or maybe a large screen. We are lucky enough to have the lovely George Prentice, of course, host of Morning Edition, but also our resident movie critic joining us today to talk more about what to watch. George, it's always such a pleasure to have you here.
I love being here. Thanks for giving me a home, me and my movies.
Of course. Okay, yeah. So you've got a little bit of news to share.
I do, and the first thing I want to share is something that has to do with you and this program. And that is, you may remember a few visits ago, I talked about a movie called Join or Die.
Yes.
And it was based on the book Bowling Alone. And there was going to be a one and done screening here in Boise. That sold out in a flash after our conversation. And when I showed up at the theater that evening, because they asked me to help facilitate the conversation after, it was almost to the person people who had heard it on Idaho Matters and heard about it on Idaho Matters. And yet they were hungry for connection, which is the theme of that film. And it was such an interesting evening. And it all started with a conversation here.
Wow.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank you for that, because it rarely do things like this inspire, right? Sometimes it's just, oh, let's see something fun or something interesting. And in this particular moment, people engaged in a movie theater.
Well, and I think too, sometimes, George, I think we forget that, as silly as this sounds, that we're actually broadcasting to people. I mean, because we're stuck in a studio.
It's kind of intimate, you know, it's kind of personal. And I think that's probably why it connects.
Wow. Yeah.
I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing it with us.
Now, here was something that caught my eye overnight.
Okay.
The Hollywood Reporter, which, of course, is one of the big publications in the business, as they say. One of the most anticipated movies of the fall is a new movie from, of all people, Francis Ford Coppola. And I can't remember the last Francis Ford. It's been probably
a long
decades,
time.
Right? So it's a pretty big movie. It's called Megalopolis. The trailer is intriguing. It's got tons of stars in it, and they've dropped the trailer for this movie. And they're showing the trailer in theaters and online. But if you look at it, in the middle of the clips of the film, there were like quotes from critics from the New York Times and the Village Voice, and like, you know, and you're thinking, wow, did this movie open? Well, they were fabricated.
No.
They were totally fabricated. And Lionsgate, the studio, pulled the trailer overnight and said, oops.
Oops.
Right? And it's like,
wow.
First of all, do you need to fabricate something?
Just say it's Francis Ford Coppola.
Movie, right? And so the quotes that they used, that they dropped into this trailer, were quotes that were, there were reviews of like The Godfather and Apocalypse Now and, you know, movies long ago. It's hilarious. And yet it's like, what's going on here? Is this an AI thing?
Yeah.
What's going on? But I thought that was really interesting. And I don't think anyone did it by design, but whoops. Wow. Yeah. Somebody's getting thrown under the bus this morning.
Oh, somebody's not going to have a job this morning is what's going to happen. Okay. Talk to us about this new film that's going to take us behind the bars of one of the most infamous prisons in the world, George?
It is. It's Sing Sing. And that's the name of the movie, too.
Okay.
Sing Sing. I think it's fair to say that some of the most infamous people who have been convicted have ended up in Sing Sing. A number of people have died there. But inside the walls of Sing Sing, there is a program that has been going underway for some years called Rehabilitation Through the Arts, or RTA for short. Basically, it has had playwrights and actors come up from New York City and work with inmates, many of them lifers, on Shakespeare and classics. And these are men that aren't going anywhere anytime soon. It is about finding a voice, some type of voice, finding some peace, who knows. Maybe they just plug that anger and frustration into something else, but it's really interesting. And you're thinking, wow, that would make a really, really good documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a documentary. I thought, oh, well, that would make a great documentary.
Yeah.
It's an actual film. It's all based on what happens at Sing Sing. And they've cast Colman Domingo, who got nominated for an Oscar last year in the lead, and all of the other roles are being played by inmates.
Really?
And it is the story of this program behind the walls of Sing Sing, and it's quite engaging. And appreciate this, for those of us who have covered the system of justice,
mm-hmm.
We know that there are way too many films that don't come anywhere near the truth
not even
about
close.
What happens behind bars. This is stunning. I'm going to play a clip for you now, and this is the character that Colman Domingo plays, and he is up for parole. And this is a conversation that he has with someone on the board where he's telling them about the program. And well, let's just listen.
It's been a program that was established to help the population with management skills. And it's turned into something a bit more, wonderful, because it helps people get more in touch with their feelings and able to process and actually move through and truly get some rehabilitation.
So are you acting at all during this interview?
Absolutely not. I truly hope that you can understand that I've been very sincere. I know how meaningful this is. I would never, actually that's not the intention of acting. Acting is just a, process.
I read about the program. It's a good program.
Wow. Isn't that something? That is.
Because you feel as if you're watching a documentary, right?
I mean, that's exactly how it felt.
Right, but your heart skips a beat there. It's like, are you acting now?
Yeah.
You know that these are real questions that people on these boards would ask inmates, because there are some that do not mm-hmm. come with the truth in mind. It's a wonderful film. It's called Sing Sing. It's an art house film, so it's going to play at the Flicks. It opens this weekend. I highly recommend it. It is one of the best films of the year. And it comes out of nowhere. This is a film. It's like, well, I had no idea about this. And it is so good. It's called Sing Sing.
Okay. So even though that felt like a documentary,
yes.
It's not. You have a documentary to tell us about. And you're saying this is Hollywood's most unlikely couple?
It is. I think it's fair to say that Julie Andrews is...
Love her.
Julie Andrews, right?
Yes.
Mary Poppins and Maria Von Trapp, right?
She's the voice of Lady Whistledown in Bridgerton, George.
She's Julie. She's as close to being...
perfect.
She's practically perfect, right? People in Hollywood know that she was married for many years to director Blake Edwards, who you would never put these two together.
I agree with
you. Right? You would never put... By the way, Blake Edwards, can we just talk about his films? He is responsible for the Pink Panther films. He made Breakfast at Tiffany's. It goes on and on. I'm just like, he's a classic director, but he also has kind of an edge to some of his films.
Mm-hmm.
10, for instance, was one of them. SOB was another one. But on public television, coming up is a documentary, and it is called Julie Andrews and Blake Edwards, A Love Story in 24 Frames. And we hear from some of their family members. We hear from some of the best actors in Hollywood about how did these two ever get together.
Yeah.
Let's listen.
Those opening credits, Blake Edwards production. This guy knows how to make the funniest movies I've ever seen.
It was so exciting. You could just tell it was going to be a hit.
We sunk a truck.
You go from Operation Petticoat to Breakfast at Tiffany's to the Pink Panther. It's like he could do no wrong.
And I remember watching this huge screen and thinking, what is my dad doing in the back row with Mary Poppins?
I was driving, and a very beautiful car came into the Meridian, and I looked across, and Blake rolled down his window and said, "You're Julie Andrews?" And I said, "Yes, I am." It was pretty instantaneous. He was dangerously attractive. Collaborating with your spouse is extremely nerve-wracking. Underlying that incredible charisma and charm and talent, he had a very dark side to him.
Comedy people are an interesting breed. They have problems with depression.
Even though we look so happy, there was a lot of sadness.
It was just too much. I couldn't handle Hollywood.
In a way, he wrote out his demons.
And said, "That's it. I'm just going to write. And they either buy it or they don't."
For first thing people think about when they think of him. They think of the Pink Panther films, but I actually think of The Range.
It's intangible, it's perfect, and it's just...
comic genius.
Controlled insanity.
My director.
One of those things like lightning striking.
Dude knew how to put on a show.
That's just movie magic right there.
You know, the days of Wine and Roses, Breakfast at Tiffany's, yeah. The Pink Panther, and Julie Andrews?
I know.
It's a really great documentary, and it's coming up on Idaho Public Television Tuesday, August 27th in okay. the evening. It will also stream on Public Television's website. You want to watch this if you love film. And by the way, if you don't love Julie Andrews, you don't have a pulse. So
it's not even human.
Right? It's entertaining. It's insightful. It's like, tell me more.
Yeah.
It's just like you just wanted this to go on. I highly recommend this. I think you're going to like this a lot.
George, I'm so excited to talk about this next thing because I've been waiting, and that is that Only Murders in the Building is coming back.
Very soon.
So soon.
Yeah. It's
like next week, right?
Next week.
Yeah.
Next week. So finally, and you know, after the Olympics, there was just nothing to watch.
Right.
So the new season of Only Murders in the Building, and by the way, it's up for, I don't know how many Emmy Awards in the next couple of weeks.
It is so good.
It's so good. The cameos, it's hilarious, but mostly the writing. Steve Martin, Martin yeah. Short, and Selena Gomez, and the guest stars are phenomenal. Last season was-
What, Meryl
with
Streep?
Meryl Streep singing, and of course- People just keep dying. Everywhere.
I know.
So the concept, I'm not giving anything away here because it's in the trailer. The concept is that Hollywood has heard about this podcast, Only Murders in the Building.
So funny.
They want to make a movie of it. Talk about meta. And they fly them out to Hollywood and they meet the actors who are going to portray them. Eugene Levy portraying the Steve Martin character, Zach Galifianakis portraying Martin Short's character, and then Eva Longoria, Selena Gomez. It's like, what is going on? I love this. Let's play.
A Hollywood studio. You want us to make a movie of our podcast?
This script is amazing.
Oliver flits around the room, a septuagenarian Peter Pan or a male Tinkerbell.
I do not walk that way.
Okay, podcasters, we have a fabulous cast.
I'm Eugene Levy.
I'm Eva Longoria.
Oliver, this is Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, yes, Zach Galifragilistic, of course.
I see what you're doing.
I happen to have started the second highest grossing comedy of all time.
Are you the little boy from Home Alone? What have they done to you?
We're going to Hollywood.
Oh, my God. Zaz?
There's been another murder.
Yay!
This can't come soon enough. The only thing, this is how much I love it. I just want it to go on.
I know.
Right? And I burn through these episodes.
I do too.
So quickly, but they are great. They are just great. And it's just perfect pairing. And how Selena Gomez puts up with these two guys.
I know, right?
It's she, and she's priceless too. So again, if you have a funny bone anywhere, it streams beginning next week, August 27th.
Right, on Hulu. Yep,
on Hulu, season four, believe it or not.
I have to say, my kids know who Selena Gomez is. I've had to tell them who Steve Martin and Martin Short are. The truth.
But Steve Martin created this. He writes
it's
most
so
of it.
So good.
And he has said, this will probably be the last thing I do. And I just pray. It's like,
well, can we just keep having it. More seasons?
Just keep doing it. And thank goodness it is not only just critically acclaimed, but audiences adore it.
It's just so good. It's so good. We want to end our conversation today talking about two television legends.
Absolutely. We cannot say enough. Well, I guess those of us of a certain age about Phil Donahue.
Oh, my gosh.
Who reinvented the television talk show.
100%.
Started in the 60s. Audiences were seen but never heard before Phil Donahue. He would stalk the aisles with a microphone, et cetera. A lot of people thought he was just controversial for controversy's sake, but he was usually the smartest person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think back to his breakthrough programming. As early as, I think, 1980, maybe 81, he started talking about AIDS, or we knew it as AIDS. As a matter of fact, I've got a compilation here of some of his broadcasts over the years. And as you listen to Phil Donahue talking about this this virus slash disease slash epidemic. I mean, you see the world, you know, you hear the world changing. Mm-hmm. Let's remember Phil Donahue.
Here are the numbers on this. 732 cases reported, 284
Over 9,000 Americans have been diagnosed with AIDS. Our stats show that over 400,000 Americans may be infected.
40,000 Americans could...
33,000 reported cases.
What do you do to make a government fight to do something to save 40,000 people?
19,000 deaths. As of August 1990, total AIDS cases in the United States, 146,000. This year, 10 to 12 million people worldwide will become infected with the AIDS virus.
Mr. Kushnick demands that AIDS appear on the death certificate of his son. The funeral home sees AIDS on the death certificate, and what did they say?
They said that they wouldn't touch the body because he had died from AIDS.
There is one area where virtually nothing has been done at the government level, and this is public education. And it is so ridiculous because,
Haven't we?
No, sir, it hasn't.
Some of your technicians here at NBC walked off your set today because of AIDS?
Yes.
Is that not true?
The answer to your question is yes.
Then that answers your question. There is a definite need for education. Mr. Donahue, there is no, you are in no danger being here with me.
I agree.
You know, he did this show without a net, so to speak, and changed television. And for some reason, I don't think anyone really picked up that baton. I know that Oprah was, she likes to think that her program was modeled a bit like his because they both came from Chicago, but she went in a different direction, I think. There was only one Phil Donahue.
Yeah. But I think too, George, that when you look at Phil Donahue, yes, there isn't someone that picked up that baton, but I don't know if you would have an Oprah. I don't know if you'd have a Kelly Clarkson show. I don't know if you would
daytime
have
daytime television would still be soaps and game shows.
Right, right. I mean, if there had not been Phil Donahue and the topics that he took on
long before
anyone would even go there, and he did it with, I think, not just grace, but he educated you. I mean, I remember, coming home from school and my mom would have it on.
He was a dog with a bone with some, and he wouldn't suffer fools. And I don't know, he will be missed. But those of us of a certain age, we were very lucky to have grown up in that quality of television.
And can I say, too, that when you watch the clip of when he met his wife, Marlo Thomas, because they met on the air.
And she's saying, I don't know who's in your life, but she's very happy. Well, soon enough,
they
were married.
And he was just so giddy, which you never really saw that.
That was great.
So find that clip, folks, honestly. Okay, and one more.
Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart. You know, the stammering Bob Newhart, who was genius. When you think back to the 1970s, talk about must-see TV on CBS. They had the roundup of All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart, and Carol Burnett.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? That was the lineup. And Bob Newhart, this psychiatrist, right? I mean, it's like, what? And it was just hilarious, his delivery. And then after that show was successful, he goes on to make Newhart even more successful, where he's running an inn in Vermont with these crazy people. And then at the end of that series was perhaps the most hilarious ending of any series in the history of television. You may remember this, the last episode of Newhart, when Bob was hit in the head with a golf ball and he wakes up in bed and this happens.
All right, Bob. What is it?
Well, I was an innkeeper in this crazy little town in Vermont.
I'm happy for you. Good night.
Nothing made sense in this place. I mean, the maid was an heiress. Her husband talked in alliteration. The handyman kept missing the point of things. And then there were these three woodsmen, but only one of them talked.
That settles it. No more Japanese food before you go to bed.
It was classic.
Yeah.
And back in the day, you could keep a secret and nobody knew about
this
ending. And it was classic. It was just like, of course, it's always about the Bob Newhart show. And I remember when I was in college, we used to have the Hi Bob drinking game. You'd watch the Bob Newhart show, and every time someone would say, "Hi, Bob," which would be everybody.
So you didn't get through the show because you're drunk.
Like, and you're doing shots.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Once he hosted SNL and the entire cast did "Hi, Bob" the whole show, they were on the air live. They were stoned out of their brains by 90 minutes.
They had to be.
It's hilarious. You got to find that on YouTube.
Well, as always, George, it's such a pleasure to have you here. And so lovely remembering really iconic television legends. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.